The following program is sponsored by Scoop USA Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
I'm laughing at the fact that minutes go quick.
Real quick.
Hey, everybody. It's me again. I'm glad to be back. It's been
a minute.
Nobody
knew you were gone. Marcus, you just gonna bust in and take over the show.
I bet you weren't expecting that introduction.
Do you see what happens, Wes? I didn't even acknowledge that this was the Scoop Show. Did you see there? You give these millennials a little bit of rope. You see what happens.
I'll have to make a new disclaimer that says Marcus's name instead of yours.
You see that? Did you see? I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, son, nobody even knew you were gone. Whoa. You see what happens? And listen, this one isn't even my kid. Oh, God. Well, I guess you did it for today.
Yes, yes, yes.
Marcus got me for today. So, can I say who we are?
Yes.
Good evening, everyone. You're listening to The Inside Scoop. I want to thank you all for joining us tonight. Before we get started, we have our special guest. He's on his way. It's Jabari. This is the third week, so
yes,
we're doing what we do. We're scooping Jabari tonight, so he'll be here shortly. In the meantime, coming up next week, Thera Martin will be here. She's going to be coming on in January, starting January, at least once a month, to do, what's it called?
Beyond COVID. Yes.
So starting in January, we're going to have a Beyond COVID article in the publication, in the print publication, every other week. And Thera will do follow-up with the once a month Beyond COVID show. So she'll be here on The Inside Scoop discussing our program Beyond COVID. I cannot and will not say whether or not I'll be here with her, because more than likely she will be doing this solo. But we'll see. If she wants me to come hang out, then I will. So with that said, next week, well, this weekend is Christmas. So to all who celebrate, I want to say Merry Christmas to you. I actually celebrate, but I'm getting kind of out of that. I'm not
really.
I'm done. So when you I had to say to my daughter the other day, and I said it to a lot of people, I'm like, when you work hard and you do all you can and your children get stuff every single day of the year, it seems like I don't see a break. It, at least I don't think I do. It's like, Christmas is like, we went out. She went to a party this weekend, and she needed stuff this weekend for the party. And everybody else is doing Christmas, and we're doing party shopping. I'm like, in the mall with the Christmas people, like, I don't belong here. That's all I wanted to say.
Oh, wow.
I just wanted to put my hands up and say, no. No, I don't belong here. I really don't. So that's, we're over that. I'm definitely over it. It must be a thing with age. You get to a certain point where you actually understand the value, and it doesn't make sense for you to do any of that stuff anymore. So we're good. But for all who celebrate it, may God continue to bless and keep you. If you have children, may you do what you can for them.
Right.
And remember, in moderation, I remember my mom used to look. We would unwrap all of those toys and wouldn't touch them. After that, it's just, I don't know if it was the excitement of just unwrapping boxes. Somebody's, and my mom used to do crazy stuff like put empty boxes under the table, under the tree, just so that she could laugh. Because they liked that we had this thing. Like, I joke around with you all the time. Just imagine having somebody who did practical jokes on you every single day of life. But that said, while we're waiting for Jabari, I wanted to kind of like go over a couple of things. So, this week's cover, this is so awesome because you see the kids in the school in the Heights, Philadelphia. It is two schools that merged as one to do so much better and give much more to their students. And I was so impressed because one thing that Philly schools, a lot of them don't have, is music class.
Yeah.
And on the inside, on page 10, you see not only do they have music class, they have youth there with violins. So I was like, wow. So only God knows what this school is because I don't have my daughter's in Catholic school.
Right.
But, you know, to see that this is happening in what one may consider a charter school, private charter, I'm assuming.
Right.
Is awesome.
It's a good thing that they're bringing that back, like teaching kids at such a young age how to play instruments. I think that was like one of my favorite parts.
A music school?
No, just being in school. Was just learning instruments. Mm.
Did I try an instrument? I think I had the flute.
Yes, the flute.
I think we all had like a flute.
Yeah.
And none of us could breathe. Because you have to train yourself to breathe.
Yeah, breath control.
And none of us could get it.
Yeah.
And no. Yeah, I do remember not being able to breathe on the flute. So. So, let's talk for a minute. Thera did this article. So, for people who don't know, as a minority paper, as a small community paper, we actually do have a lot of contacts. And I get calls from the White House quite frequently. And Thera actually had a chance to interview Dr. Cameron Webb, who is the White House's doctor in charge of COVID.
Right.
So, she interviewed him last week. And they talked about COVID. So anybody who knows COVID, Marcus, we know this is one of your favorite subjects. COVID.
Stop, please.
Is that is still hasn't gone anywhere.
Yeah, it hasn't.
You know, so when you go out in public, if you're around a whole bunch of people, like I have this thing and I'm in public normally, for people who listen to this show know, that I said for the month of December, I was scaling back. And scaling back was not so much something that I wanted to do, but it ended up being something I had to do.
Right.
Because I ended up taking classes.
Right.
So I can't be in school and also everywhere else. So I ended up not being able to go to things. But I was going to scale back just to scale back. But people are messy.
Yeah.
And that's not messy as in nasty. It's just that unintentionally out, because you can be out in people's faces, hanging out, partying, and people are getting sick.
Right.
Hey, you. Hey. People are getting sick, and the numbers are going up again. And then you have flu.
Yes.
And RSV. And you have all of these babies. I think Jordan was not feeling well. A few weeks ago, she had the scratchy throat, and we took her. I took her to her pediatrician, and they said, "Oh, she doesn't have." Well, we know. No. Let's do it right. We did 3 COVID tests at home.
Right.
Because she kept saying, "You did it wrong. Do another one. You did it wrong. Do another one." So we did 3.
Right.
Like, all right. So I don't have COVID. So then she felt comfortable with that. Then she was like, "All right, we gotta go." So I took her to the doctor. The doctor says she had allergies, which was something attributed to, I guess, the stages of RSV. Said that she had bad allergies and that her bad allergies were a result, and that pain in her throat and all of that was from allergies. So she told her to get a mist. And at the same time, one of my writers was sick with the same symptoms. So I said, well, Jordan's doctor said, go get the mist and use the mist. Use your allergy tablets. So she did the same thing that Jordan was doing, and both of them felt well.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I was like, wow. What the heck? But is all of this stuff out here, and we're still all going out. Now, if you have to be out there, that's something different. But if you don't have to,
yeah.
Seriously, if you don't have to, then it's something that I would refrain from doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So while I was sharing my piece, Jabari walked in. Welcome.
Yes.
Welcome. Favorite week.
These months go fast, don't they?
Don't they? It's already end of the year, man. You blink and you miss it.
I don't know if that's good or bad or indifferent. some weeks, some of this stuff, we just don't want it to go. Some of them is like, bye.
Right. That's right.
And these past, what, 3-4 weeks? Like I've said, I think even when we were at the awards, I told you I'm kind of scaling back for December. I'm just going to let this coast out.
Yep.
And I don't think that that was the worst thing. Mm. There have been tons of parties.
Yep.
Tons of parties.
Yeah, a lot of parties. A lot more. And not done yet.
And yeah, they're not, and I'll leave. I leave for Georgia on Friday, so I won't be here.
Oh, nice.
I won't even be here.
That's nice.
It's not nice. I'm going to help with my mother-in-law and do what daughter-in-laws do.
Yep.
But on top of that, she spoils me, so I'll get to sleep and somebody will cook and make sure I'm okay for
That's
like
good.
5 days. Yes. So, what's going on, Jabari? Let's just go straight to the goodies. So let me tell you, mm-hmm. in this paper this week, so you know that I put this paper together on Sundays. Mm-hmm. So as I'm reading this paper, first of all, the William Penn Foundation, on page 3, this ad right here, the civic response. Mm-hmm. So apparently a lot of civic organizations have now come together to, it's in regular. You envision.
Regular, I'm envisioning.
Mm-hmm. All right, it's too many papers. See there?
Always too many papers.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
They've all come together and they're going to work and try. They've developed a coalition to work alongside the city and the state to help deal with the violence.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that we got a phone call. We have a call sometime this week with them. I'm kind of excited. Mm. And hopeful for some new blood, new perspective, new outlooks. You know what I mean? Some people who've been around for a little while but actually haven't been active in the things that we've been going through to bring a different perspective to the table. Mm-hmm. I'm optimistic about it. I really am. I'm good. I'm glad. And when I said, I was like, oh, this is good to me. But with anything, I guess we'll see how it works.
Yeah.
But they actually are really trying to do something. Pedro Ramos and them, you know, the William Penn Foundation. They're involved in a lot of good things. So hopefully some of their goodness can transform over this. I saw a press release maybe an hour ago from the DA's office say they arrested some gangs in Southwest.
And here's what I got to say about that one.
Let's go to gangs first in the fact that nobody ever wanted to actually say that we definitely are ganged out.
It's crazy. I mean, like the DA's office and the city has refused to call out the real issue being that it's gang violence.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you have people, but the problem, I will give them a little bit of credit for how they define it, is you don't have traditional gangs like as people are thinking. When you're thinking like, you know, there's a gang of 100 people or something like that throughout the city.
Right.
The gangs in the city have gotten so condensed that you might have a gang with 5 people in it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're beefing with another gang of 5 people on it on the opposite side. And it could be the opposite side of the same block.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm on the even side, you on the odd side, and we fight. Like literally, and you see people every day
because
I'm leaving my house, you leaving your house, altercations happen. So it's been crazy that the city has not, you know, been willing to do that in the past. It's good to see that we're moving to where we can. The city made an arrest for a particular Southwest Philly gang that was responsible.
Two different gangs?
Yeah. Two of the people that were arrested were responsible for a shooting that happened in West Philly on July 4th of last year where there was one of our business owners who was having a cookout on 60th Street.
Mm.
And 4 people came around the corner and they fired 100 rounds on the crowd. 4 people were shot. 2 dozen people were shot. It was 25 people were shot.
Right.
4 people were killed, including a state senator's nephew. State Senator Sharif Street's nephew was unfortunately killed, as well as the business owner, Sakar Johnson, who was also killed. And it's been, again, a year and some change, and we're just finding these people. And that's one of the reasons why a long time ago we created our Safe Corridors grant program to fund cameras, because that shooting was caught on 6 cameras.
Yeah.
On 60th Street.
Wow.
Yeah.
But the crazy thing is a lot of people are like, oh, well, maybe the guys were wearing masks. No, they weren't wearing masks. The footage of the cameras was so grainy
that you couldn't make out who the people were.
Right.
Wow.
And my understanding is that they've only found the two people that they found and arrested that were in that sting because of there were some social media posts.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think one of the people told somebody what they did or whatever.
Okay.
So they were able to catch them. So it's good that they're seeing progress, but it also highlights, like, I couldn't imagine, you know, obviously the issue of, you know, the family who lost their family member, but also, you know, to go a whole year and some change. Ugh. And to catch two people. And reminder, too, for everybody, there are two other people that they still haven't caught yet.
Wow.
You know, so.
Well, just imagine, and you're talking about that, and on the opposite side of this page is Epilogues, and
right.
It's Zarina, how she actually has these features every week of hundreds of people who have never been identified. Mm-hmm. They don't know what happened. This lady right here, she says right here that her daughter was an innocent bystander.
Mm-hmm. And I went to her event that she had.
Saturday?
Saturday. Saturday I went to her event. We were the sponsor for the event because mm-hmm. they needed to find a space. And I will tell you, and I sat there.
Is this your first time at one?
This is my first time. I did see the exhibit at City Hall, but this is my first time at an event, though.
Wow. Yeah. You were mesmerized.
It was
powerful. Because you couldn't breathe.
It was.
It knocks you out,
it
right?
It knocks you out.
It knocks you completely out. And I was supposed to be there, but you see this beautiful paper right here in front of you?
Yep.
It had a deadline of 12 midnight Saturday. So
I got you.
Instead of being able to leave,
I had
to work.
Right.
And I was supposed to be at like three different events.
Yep.
And I'm like, I can't, because if I don't put out my publication, you can't not show up. Like, I can't not show up for work.
That event was like that is an eye-opening event. And then the other thing from the panels that I took away from is, like, if I had to say, like, three things at that event,
mm-hmm.
and I'm heavily involved in the community, so I talked to a lot of people with gun violence, but I'll say three things that came across crystal clear from the survivors and their families and the victims and their families was, like, people want to see black men take a leadership position in the community and start taking back the community from people that are terrorizing it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
They said, two, the trauma that goes unaddressed of people that have lost their loved one in a particular community, and they know the perpetrator is somewhere in that community. Because a lot of times, this isn't like, you know, cross-city gun violence. The gun
right.
violence is somebody
within.
You know.
Yeah.
And like when one parent did a good job of really explaining the paranoia, mm. you know, with just mm-hmm. the regular people walking up and down the street thinking, mm. like, man, one of these people could have killed my son.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Like, that kind of trauma is, I don't even know how you live with that. Like,
yeah.
I have so much respect for the people that were strong enough to not only, you know, live with that, but also come and sit on a panel and talk about it, because that's some real stuff. And then the third thing that the people kind of expressed is just a disappointment in a response from government. You know, government not getting in contact with me. They don't give me updates on the investigation. I never even heard from somebody. I heard from my neighbor who told me whether or not my son, daughter, whatever, was killed. Mm. Like, it's unacceptable, and we needed to be demanding better of all of our government officials. Like, basic response.
Right.
You know what? I say to people, and it's hurtful to say it, but if you experience a death, a violent death, you understand. My brother was killed in 1983, my oldest brother. We were in the house watching Dallas, and a friend knocked on the door and said, your brother was shot. Look, we run. I run barefoot. I'm 14 years old. Run barefoot to his site where he is laying. Mind you, this is 1983, black young man in the projects, right?
Mm-hmm.
He laid there for an hour and a half almost before the ambulance came.
Mm.
Mind you, with all of us standing there hollering, screaming, quite messed up. Yeah. When the ambulance came and took him to what no longer exists, Women's Medical Hospital,
yep.
we were all there, and he literally died probably as soon as we got there because mm-hmm. he had been laying in the ground
for 30 minutes. Yeah.
For 30 minutes. Over an hour. An hour and 30 minutes or so. So then we still to this day don't have a clue who killed yeah. their brother. My next brother was murdered in 2005. Still, to this day, we don't know who murdered him. My youngest brother was killed last year.
Yeah.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
Same thing. Still don't know. Actually, and we were at a press conference, and the cop says, he's like, hey, where was that location? Oh, I heard about that. I know about that. I was there.
Oh, my gosh.
But I say that to say to you, and still, no one has reached out to any of us. There were no victims advocates. I think that they actually don't come into play until they actually do have a lead, where they're coming and they have to talk to you. So they want to know what you know, how you feel, how you're making it through, so they can develop their case. But I don't think that I've actually ever heard of somebody who comes out to, you know, nurture you or support you. And I've seen it and heard it again and again from many of the families when I have been to Zarina's events or when you're in other situations. Like, you know, when you go out to these rallies and we're standing there and you have the few people who, again, have the heart to step up and actually talk about what's going on.
Right.
So I'm glad you were able to make it there.
It was a good, yeah, it was a good event. I'm glad I came down. And to your point, too, like, a lot of times people don't know this. There's a statutory requirement that the city has to alert you if the next of kin of anybody that gets shot in the city. And the city also has to alert you if they find a person or a suspected person. Mm-hmm. And then if the district attorney's office files charges against that person. And if before the district attorney's office, in the case that they either downgrade the charge or they give the person a plea deal, you have the opportunity as the survivor or the victim to protest that.
Wow.
One of the things that doesn't happen in this city is none of those things happen.
Right.
And it becomes a really big problem, unfortunately, when it comes to those things. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. I've never heard of something like that. Never.
I'll call you when I get out.
A lot of people don't know that that's like, you know, part of and it's by law. The city legally has the requirement where they're supposed to do that for you. And they're not. They're not doing it.
Well, who? What department is supposed to do that?
It's supposed to be the police department. It's supposed to be the district attorney's office.
And they have people who are paid to do this?
Paid to do that, exactly.
They do.
When they assign a detective to a case, that detective, within a certain number of hours of the crime happening, has a legal requirement to contact you, the next of kin, or the family, and...
So it's the detective. It's not like an administrative person who works for them.
It's the detective, but there's administrative people their job is to do the legwork to find your number, find your address.
You ever been in contact with the police after some craziness going on? You walk in there, they act like they don't even know you exist. Have you ever walked into a police district? And they just be like, it's like you can do like this.
Like
you
next.
Can jump all around. Wow. It's like, no, like you don't exist.
That is extremely alarming.
It's sad.
Yeah.
It's not just alarming. It's sad.
People deserve better. They deserve a lot better than what they're getting in a lot of cases in the city. We talk about it a lot, but that's one area where while I was listening to the things that were happening on Saturday, I was like, man, this city is failing people. Like, it's bad.
Has been failing people, unfortunately.
So, well, I think that everybody who is a decent person needs to actually sit in that room and observe and be a part of those type events. Because once you sit there and you feel it, you can't do anything but either understand it and support it or know that you need to work to help these people. Seriously, once you feel it, it's like, wow. It definitely takes your breath away.
Yeah, I have to experience it.
Yes, you should.
You gotta make sure, go to one of those events. I think there's one more before the end of the year is out being planned, but it's definitely worth it for everybody listening.
Right.
It's called the Apologues, and you can look at it in the paper. Definitely I recommend people to go out to that if you can.
Yeah, I've been fortunate enough to be around Z since, I think, 3 months of my becoming an owner of Scoop.
Oh, okay. Okay.
She's the reason why we definitely had an app so early, because I was like, somebody told me to get an app. She was like, girl, go get it. And that was March of 2018.
Wow.
And I had my app June of 2018.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
Yep. I was like, okay. I was like, you think I could do it? She was like, yeah, you could do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, real quick. It worked out very well. And then when, the next time I saw her, I was like, yo, I got my app.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's awesome. Thanks. I'm glad you shared that. Mm-hmm. I am. I'm really, really happy. What is going on with this? I want to talk about the election, but I'm not ready for that yet. We got to build up.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
we got to build up because
so
I'm
funny.
I'm actually like at a point where it's like, oh, God, we need to really, really prepare for that because that's going to be a lot of work. The housing stuff.
Oh, yeah, it was a nightmare.
40-year mortgage.
Oh, man, ABC Company, man, that was one of the worst stories I've ever probably read. And it's crazy because, like, you know, I don't know what the story would have been, the worst story of 2022. Mm-hmm. But whatever it was, we all forgot about that. And this ABC Company, folks, has been killing it.
So, Marcus, so I'm sure looking, and you've been away, so I'm sure you don't know.
I don't know.
There is a mortgage company.
Okay.
Who is mortgaging properties for minority people, black and brown.
Okay.
And traditionally, you're young enough. What do you hear about a mortgage? How long do you say most mortgages are?
How much would I say?
How long? How long? Years.
5 years?
No, it's 15 and 30.
Oh, 15 to 30.
15 and 30.
He's too young.
Yeah. You haven't gotten to the bank yet. 15 and 30.
Right.
And when you go to the mortgage to rent your property, it's 15 or 30 is usually the term. And then you can do all of these other things. It depends on your value and the value that and the money you put in, and it comes down to your interest. Your interest is the most important thing in that because it talks about how long you go up and down and how your rates are. And they do like this amortization schedule that's based off of all of these factors, and it comes up with how much your mortgage is.
Right.
Yeah, this mortgage company, Black and Browns, I tell you, we get it every time.
Yep.
They are mortgaging properties for not 15, not 30, 40 years.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
In addition to 40 years, they have all of these things tied to the mortgage where I think if you get out of your mortgage early, you have to pay them additional interest. If you do something like you're locked in, and they actually are doing this. So I'll tell you this, as a person who was mortgaging, I refinanced my grandmother's house.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Mortgage was reasonable, $400 or $500.
Right.
And you hear me talk all of the time about how when it came sheriff sell time, I would look at the book because I would mm-hmm. be behind in my mortgage mm-hmm. 3 months. So imagine being behind in your mortgage 3 months and you have this company that every time you do something wrong, they're adding additional interest.
Yeah.
Right? So instead of your numbers going down, they're constantly going up.
The most gross cases from that
uh-huh.
were they were doing, like you said, like refinances. So a mm-hmm. lot of times when you got a property, you've been paying on it
mm-hmm.
and then something breaks in the house,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe you need a new roof or something. And that's a big job. That's like maybe $10,000-$12,000, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the average person, you know, I can't put my hand in my pocket and pull out 12 grand.
Right.
So what you do is you try to refinance your house.
Exactly.
And take some money out and fix it.
Use your equity.
And so these guys were doing those kinds of mortgages, but they were doing the mortgages over the course of 40 years, wow. right? Mm-hmm. So, and then literally you couldn't get out of it.
Wow.
So even if you tried, there was no prepayment. So you had this $12,000 and they had this 40-year mortgage on your property that you couldn't get off. Then on the other side, they had a number of properties that they turned into an investment scam. So they would take these little blighted, vacant properties
mm-hmm.
that were shells, and they would tell investors that, hey, if you put money into this company, we'll give you a turnkey property. Well, we have a top contractor, top property management company. Put the money in. We'll renovate it. We'll get somebody in here. We'll get them paying rent. And then you get, you know, your percentage of the rent back on an ongoing basis. And a lot of out-of-town investors who didn't want to be in Philly or weren't in Philly said, hey, this is a really quick way to make money. I'm in. And what wow. these guys were doing is they were taking all the money. They would not really renovate the property.
Mm-hmm.
They would not get any licenses. They wouldn't pay any property taxes. But they would find a low-income resident that they could take advantage of that needed a place to stay. And they would put you in there, and you would have all kinds of problems that they wouldn't pay for. There was one family said the roof was was falling apart. There was water damage to the point where they had mushrooms growing in the wall. Like, you had some lady who, she said the staircase collapsed.
Oh, my goodness.
When she was walking down a street, walking down the steps and got seriously injured. And, like, none of these properties were done up to code. Nobody had permits. Nobody had licenses. Nobody even had, like, the basic rental license associated with this. And these guys were operating a scam of 800 properties across the city of Philadelphia.
Not only here, in Florida, and, like, there are tons of
in other states.
All in minority communities, though.
It sounds like something from a movie. Like, I can't believe it.
The problem with that is it's always happening to minorities, first of all.
Yep.
Right.
And then you have this. This is like the same thing as predatory lending. It's just with a property attached.
Right.
You know, you borrow your loan money and it's inflated 300%, and they payday loans is a good example.
Right.
You get your payday loan and it's called my it used to be the loan sharks at the corner of the block. You used to go borrow money and every month your parents would owe them their whole check before it came.
Yep.
And you would have to borrow money back. It's the same concept. It's just on a larger, grander scale, and it's more involved, and it's so much more involved because now you have somebody's home who now is inhabitable.
Right.
They can't live in their home.
Yep.
They still owe you money, so they can't afford to go get another home.
Yep.
Imagine that. And imagine that being able to happen.
Yep.
Right
like
now.
That, like right. Against every code, every everything. Like we stood in the park with the I stood in the park with the people from Washington, D.C., the attorney generals and all them, when they came and they talked about predatory lending and homes and what happened in Philadelphia in years past and how that wasn't going to happen anymore. And the question was, how can you make sure that it doesn't happen again? While at the exact same time, this is happening.
Yep.
Mm. Like, it becomes a question of when and where, and it's sad because education, like this is what we try to focus on with Scoop and other materials that are put in places so that people can get some sort of literature to see what's happening. So hopefully you don't fall into those traps.
Yeah, because you don't hear about this.
You don't.
No, you don't.
Until it's too late.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing is that, like you said, Sherry, too, they're taking advantage of low-income communities that are like, and always the property is always below market rate on the rent.
Mm-hmm.
So the person in there is like, oh, well, it costs now. I mean, shoot, you look at rentals in West Philly,
you got Z on the phone.
You're paying $1,700, $1,800, you know, for a month for a 1-2-bedroom property.
Mm-hmm.
So for the average person who's now getting this property and they're charging you $1,000, you're like, I got a deal. Yep.
Yo, I can manage this.
That's right.
But it takes you, the whole entire equation is crazy because Jabari, to rent an apartment, it needs to be how many times your
that's right, three times your three household
times,
income.
Three times your income, right? You have to have that in order to get there.
Yep.
So you get this situation where somebody done let you skim off and put you somewhere that's probably more supposedly important, more cost worthy than what you should be. You shouldn't be in there.
Right.
And then you're happy because you get there. And then you find out that you can't be there.
Yep.
You done already went over your limit.
Yep.
You already living paycheck to paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
$1,000 a month rent, $700 a car note, insurance $500. So you got like $800-$900 left. Yep. And then all this is going on. So where are you going?
You can't go anywhere. And so people have just been dealing with it. And that's the bad thing. It's like, you know, they complain.
But where could you go to help? Because you sign these contracts.
That's
another thing. Because I sign these contracts, I don't even know if I have an option.
Mm.
You can't normally. Normally, there is no option once you sign. Now, you can sue your landlord, but the average person, you know, you can sue your landlord and say the landlord has the responsibility to make sure that the premises are in safe, operable. But the reality is, let's say you do that. Let's say you call them. L&I comes out. Says it's not fit for
but
you to live.
But in these situations, you're the landlord.
That's right.
Because you're the property owner. You actually have taken out an equity loan against your property.
Yep.
So you double bubble.
So now you get hit with L&I says, all right, well, you can't have a tenant.
Mm-hmm.
And now your lease in most cases says that you either have to provide a space for the tenant or now you're sitting on a property where you owe a two mortgages possibly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness.
And you don't have no income coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, like it messes people up in two
more ways. More ways than you can even begin to imagine.
Yep.
Hey Z, sorry, sweetie.
Hey.
I text Z because I said Jabari was on here talking good things about you.
Hey, Zarina.
Good things about you.
Hey.
I heard that was. I missed something that was really, really, you shouldn't have missed. Crap.
Yeah, Sherry missed your party.
That's normally what you be trying to tell people too. I always tell people I can't really explain it unless you come experience it, and that's why they need to just give me this building and stop playing.
I love the way you threw that up in there. See there?
I mean, my buildings. I mean, Jabari, was we not packed in there like sort? Like people think I'm playing. Like I don't. People always say I need to do a lot of press, but I try to keep it as intimate as possible because when people see them cameras, they don't talk the same.
Yeah.
So I just want people to be able to get free, and that's kind of like the hard part where I'm doing this for them, but I'm doing this for them, and it takes a lot because people are like, oh, well, you know, we don't know. And I'm like, no, I'm telling you, you just come and experience it. You're going to be like, how much can I give you? So I don't know. It's a balance between it. But it was really an amazing time on Saturday. And I also premiered that mobile ad that I'm about to start running through the city. But them shows is expensive. Paint costs, paint brushes costs, canvases costs, food, all that stuff. Like, you know, I like to make sure that you have a good time. And you know I'm real crafty, sis. So I'm glad that you enjoyed yourself, Jabari, because I know, it's different when you're there compared to when I probably was telling you about it before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you actually have to feel it. Mm-hmm. There's this air that's in the room that if you're not there and you don't breathe that air that everybody else is breathing, you don't. Mm-hmm. You'll never get it. Yep. You'll never get it. I'm so sorry that I missed it. Mm-hmm. I am.
We're definitely doing a monthly now.
Marcus is trying to say something to you, Z.
I was just about to ask how often your shows were.
Yeah, so before they were quarterly because they were just the fashion shows, but now they're more exhibits and like hubs where I'm pretty much having it because I don't have the space and I know that I can't do that quarterly anymore. Mm-hmm. So every month after that Father's Channel on Saturday, I am going to put together just one that is an exhibit of only fathers. Mm-hmm. I think it is really necessary. I think that the fathers deserve that space and they want it because they were sharing. But it'll be monthly here, and then I'm about to start taking it to other cities. So Chicago was in February, and then I just talked to somebody in D.C. today.
Wow.
So I'm looking to go. Basically, I'll do one here in another city every month and just keep doing it until I get to it. I'm one conversation away from that building. I know it. So I'm just going to keep having them and keep doing them, and eventually we'll have it. We'll be cutting the ribbon, and then we'll be singing Kumbaya in there. But I definitely need something bigger because all of the stuff that I'm doing there, I wish I could do it every day because I know that they need it and people will come.
Yeah. I'm so happy for you. I am happy that you're continuing. Yep. And every time we talk and every time you call or come in here, you know, I talk about how things have been over the past years. Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate the bar. He gave me $1,200. The bar, you know, I'm going to be begging you for some more money. Listen, them parents, well, some of the parents, like, hey, people come from, like, out of town now. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, I don't know what God is doing. But, and then I go back to TV. I'm going back on TV. Remember I was doing the show, sis?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going back on TV. I'm going to start recording again next month and keep letting them talk. So I'm excited because I just saw so many people get free that day. Like my friend that sang Jabari,
mm-hmm.
he called me crying because he never lost a child, but he was like, I had to go home and talk to my son that keeps trying to, you know, that are going through things. There's always one kid. Mm-hmm. He was like, if you don't feel love, let me tell you now, he said, because I was watching these fathers wish that they can hold one more conversation with their child. So that's exactly what this is designed to be. I think sometimes people think that, oh, it's about people that may have passed or maybe even survived something and I can't get something, but he's never lost a child. He's not a rape survivor, none of those things. But he was crying more than I was because of the fact that it resonates with you as a person, but he is a father still at the end of the day and he loves his kids. So I think that it's doing exactly what I needed to do. I think I maybe need to do a little bit of this and kind of get some testimonials from people because I'm working on my website.
Yes, you do.
I can put that up there.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
You most definitely do.
I do.
So.
I'm glad you had fun, Jabari, but I told you, I was like, be prepared. I said, be prepared to come in here.
And yeah, cry. It's a powerful room.
It's definitely
a powerful room.
Hi, what'd you say?
I said it was definitely a powerful room. I gotta tell you, it was. It was something else. I was recommending before you came on that everybody really should experience that. You know, if If they haven't been in the room yet, it's definitely an event you want to make it to.
Thank you. I appreciate y'all. Mm-hmm. Maybe I need to just do a fundraiser with the people that have experience so they can invite people out. Like, you got to come. Because I just was like going to do a fundraiser. But just how that happened in 2 minutes and even just having a conversation with you, he was like, yeah, I'm going to just give you something. Mm-hmm. Maybe if I do it that way and just kind of raise the money with the people that do support me and let them bring people out, I think it'll be cool too. Because I know that art, like, it's not an art center. It's a healing center. It's called the Epilogue Center. I'm really calling it a healing center because you really do leave out of there a different person. Leave out different every single time. And I think I will be doing it a disservice by saying that it's an art center because it's not. Like, we use the art to bring people in, but we are completely walking out of there with different forms of, you know, mechanisms to heal through conversations and storytelling, through the art therapy that I will offer that I'm already offering on the side that a lot of people don't know that I'm teaching and I'm just doing it. I don't really know how God has given it to me the way that he has, but the way that he's doing it, I know that it's not myself. One of the guys told me, I feel like I'm in church. He don't even go to church. He's like, I don't even go to church. He's like, I feel like I'm in church today. But it's because, you know, you think of those places no matter what you believe in, of like when you go in, you want to go in and release something, and then you leave and you do, and you feel better. Like, it wasn't preachy. I wasn't like, come on, everybody, pull out Jonas, because you know I can, sis, but I don't. I just let people tell their story. And that was it. So it was, I don't know. I keep thinking, like, it's good, sis, but it is very different than before because it's just overwhelming. Like, I was just, like, overwhelmed in there.
Think about this to yourself, right? Just think to yourself about the things that were there prior to COVID, right? Mm-hmm. And the many different layers that have now been added today versus 2018, 2019, 2019, when you actually started and we were having the full-blown big ones. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So when you look at it and the different variables that are there, and when you walk into the room and you're doing your thing and you're sponsoring this, you have to keep that in the back of your mind, you know, because that's another element on top of everything else.
Mm-hmm.
That element is there. So you can't forget that. And I think that's exactly what's different. Is that there are so many other variables that have been added into this now on top of the violent acts and the things that we had already been going through. Mm. And unless you take that full picture, you don't get it all. So I probably would have been somebody who would have been bawling because I take it in all day, every day.
You do. And I know how you are because you would be saying at the other ones. I mean, what you just said is exactly what the reason why I started doing this. Like, I'm still going to do the two fashion shows here because, you know, I love fashion shows. We're going to still do it. And it still have it the way that we had it with the portraits and the painting of the clothes and all that. That's still going to be. But that what you just said was exactly what I said. Like, there has to be another variable to this. And now what's happening is I'm just pulling them out, like, piece by piece and letting each piece do its thing because it is so many components in, like, that big show that was dynamic that I'm like, I could just do this 1 month and I could do this here and I could do this here. And now that's kind of what's being done in different ways in the monthly ones and then also through the workshop that I'm offering. A friend of mine said today, like, you should start being, like, a workshop facilitator and teaching people how to heal their community, heal the people at their job and, like, offering in. I was like, I sure can because I've been doing that anyway where I hold classes, but I didn't consider that a workshop. But he's like, people want to connect with people like that. They just don't know how to. You can teach them how to do that. So I'm like, I sure can. So there's so many different things that I'm like really learning about myself through this at the same time that I'm helping people. But I am glad that people are getting what I want them to get, which is just that you can survive this and there is still life after all of that. I don't know what to tell you that is. I don't try to tell people in there like, oh, y'all gonna leave out of here and all this gonna happen. I don't give them no false promises. I just help them like you. It is more than this, and even though it's heavy, like you can survive this thing.
Yeah.
So if they ain't get nothing else. I hope they got that.
Well, I'm sure they did. Based off of what Jabari said, if he walked into the room and he felt what I knew he should have been feeling, and he explained it just now, he got it. Mm-hmm. So we got like 10 minutes left. And I gotta give Jabari some umph about this election. So we gonna go oh, hard man. For 10 minutes because it's overdue, and he not coming back until next month. So we gotta close out the year the right way. I got to.
Ahead, I'm out there right to this. What's it? Anthony Hughes, and I'm gonna go to that toy thing tonight, whatever that is. I'm about to go to that.
All right, be safe.
What is this? Yeah, I'm about to go to. If y'all pop out to that, I'll see you. But if not, I'll be coming to both of y'all soon, begging for help, because I got. I need a building and some money, and y'all the smartest two, some of the smartest two people I know. So here I come, begging.
I'm going to tell you this: to go back to your article that runs in the paper every week, and add a paragraph to that that outlines what you need.
Okay.
Bye, babes.
All right, y'all. All right. Jabari, you next. I'm gonna be begging you to go. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
Good night.
All right.
All right, so you ready?
Yeah, it's craziness election stuff.
Wait.
So go, you can go.
Is it true that Jeff Brown, he did a commercial with Michelle Obama?
He did.
Oh, wow.
Did do a commercial with Michelle Obama that has hit the airwaves, and people really like what they see. So it's something else. I mean, he also did another commercial. It was him driving through West Philly. He was talking about his life and how he's a second generation grocer, mm-hmm. and how his family's first store was on 40th and Girard.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, he learned the grocery business from the employees. And yeah, he's been making his rounds.
He's been hitting it.
He's been hitting it.
Oh, he's been hitting it, huh?
And then also this week, Sherelle Parker came out with her first commercial. Talked about her story. It was talked about some of the things she's done in city council.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those are hitting different, I guess. But
yeah. They come out with their stories, and Alan Dom, he came out with his plan.
Yep.
He walked through the neighborhoods and started outlining his plans for the communities.
Yep.
Who else is giving us some good stuff?
Oh, man.
What else?
I think those are the videos that came out.
But you had a
mayoral announcement
Friday?
Last week.
Yeah.
Was that Thursday?
Thursday,
I think.
Friday?
You know, oh no, it was Friday. It was Friday.
Yeah, it's Friday.
It was West Philly State Representative Alan Brown. He had an announcement. And he announced he's running for mayor. He had, first of all, it was like record number of press on that event. That event got a lot of press.
It did. Yeah.
He did have a little controversy because he was in the news because he did one Fox business interview and they asked him a question about the city budget and he gave. An incorrect number,
mm-hmm.
but then he did release a statement being fully transparent 2 days later, which said that he was looking at the full budget of government spending in the city that got to $15 billion. So he included the school district budget, and I think he included the capital expense budget, which technically are things the city spends money on, mm-hmm. but they are separate, though.
Mm-hmm.
And he released a statement. But at the end of the day, though, so he did announce... he's been getting trolled, man. They've been trolling him. And one thing I will say to him, look, I'll say about the situation, in my opinion, I'd love to hear your opinion on it too. You say something, there's a gaffe, you know, everybody's going to troll you. Mm-hmm. The trolling on him, though, was next level trolling.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, you have folks come out and called him Herschel Walker, which I was like, really, though? The guy's an incumbent state rep. Like, you compared an incumbent state rep who's brought back a lot of money to this district. A guy before he was in office, you know, ran two businesses pretty successfully. You know, he had a daycare, which was the largest daycare in West Philly. He had a real estate business.
So he knows what debits and credits are.
Right. He knows how to count. You know, I mean, he's a state rep. Now, yeah, he's not as familiar with the city, which I get it. Hey, they're going to say, attack him on the merit of policy of saying he should have knew the number. Hey, okay, cool. But, like, going as far to, like, say that, and then the working, there was some... political folks that released a crazy bill. This is the sixth time they've tried to compare him to Jim Crow because he put up a bill saying that if you get caught with an illegal firearm the third time in 5 years, there should be a mandatory sentence. And they now have labeled it, they have a fire going around where they labeled it the Amon Crow Law, like Jim Crow Law.
Oh, geez.
Which I'm like the trolling, like you could tell how much there's some people that just really hate this guy. Like, and they're willing to say and do anything that I think is way out of proportion. And then the last thing before I give the mic up is that there was a guy in New York that said he was going to commit $5 million to his campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of controversy because it's like, oh, he's got to be bought and sold, da 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 da. And I'm like, as I was reading, I was like, how many other mayoral candidates, especially if it was a major, especially like think of like a white candidate, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. White candidate got $5 million. You shrug. Nobody cares. Like, oh, okay, you go, and you probably would go on the ballot and you vote for the guy. But if a black person gets somebody to donate $5 million to his campaign, you got to be bought and sold. And I just think that double standard is just inappropriate, in my opinion.
All right. Double standard is unfortunately our life.
It is. It is. I was like, it's wild.
The unfortunate reality is it is our life. And to hear that somebody's giving a black man $5 million right there is catty by itself.
It's like, oh, why is he getting, yeah, I was like, what?
It's like, seriously, somebody's giving a black man $5 million. Did Obama get money like that?
Oh, yeah, he had a lot of that money, though.
He got money like that.
But they bombed him for it, too.
Exactly, because his most... In his opinion, his most lucrative idea was the $5 per person.
Yep.
And that kind of separated him from the $5 million money, the money that you're not supposed to actually be taking.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. I'm just saying that the black men phobia thing that comes with it, automatically you're going to get that.
I think it's fair to give people scrutiny, though.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the big thing is... like from a non-political standpoint,
mm-hmm.
we should scrutinize people equally, right? Like don't give him a pass on the five million. Don't give him a pass on the $5 million. But when there's another candidate, don't give anybody a pass on the five million.
Right. That's kind of my way of thinking. Like I don't go to one, I don't go to any.
Yep.
Like it's all or none. That needs to be. But you're apolitical when you're like that.
Yep.
Like if you're political, unfortunately, in the way that this temperature is now with these elections, it's like, are you on the left side of the table or are you on the right side? Because you can't be on both.
You can't.
It's crazy.
Yep.
It's completely crazy because the unfortunate reality is one job. I keep saying that.
One job, nine people.
One job. It's one job and only one person can get the job.
Right.
And at the end of the day, whomever gets the job, we all need to resurface and learn how to come together for the better of the city afterwards.
Yep.
So the mudslinging and the craziness, that's definitely guaranteed to come.
Oh, it's definitely going to come.
Because it's here already. And it's going to come. And that's what's sad.
Yep.
That's what's extremely sad about it. Because there are so much. It's so much at risk already. You have situations like all that we're going through.
Yep.
Now. And on top of that, we have this election.
And you got, like, and unfortunately, like to your point, there used to be a time, and actually it wasn't that long ago,
mm-hmm.
where, like, you had, we talked about this with the Fetterman versus Oz thing. Like, you had a level of civility in your debate where people had to come in front of you and talk about issues.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to say, this is what I'm going to do about gun violence or trash or whatever. Now, all the candidates, in my opinion, all of them, I've been to all their websites, they have the most vague concepts. Like, I believe in safer communities. Oh, yeah, well, I do too. How do you get there? Nobody knows. Mm-hmm. But the whole campaign is now being fought on mudslinging. When it used to be the other way around, when it was issues first
mm-hmm.
and a little bit of mudslinging, now it's just sling mud and put some basic 5 bullet points on your website, and that's all the voters know about you.
At a time when we need people more than ever to fight and identify these issues and tell us what our options are. Tell us what can we do. And, I mean, I'm assuming somebody should have some researchers out there trying to figure out the best way, what needs to be done to get through some. I would actually love to just get a out-of-the-box idea, mm-hmm. which is what when I said that the Penn Foundation was, I'm like, maybe they can bring something different to the table because there are many, many issues. You have people like Z doing her thing. You have people on the other hand, everybody's trying something. And unless we can figure out how to bring all of those parts together mm-hmm. to be effective that way.
Well, the good news about that is I got an op-ed for you. So you're going to be getting it this week.
Seriously.
Yeah, it's going to be a nice feat. It's a little controversial, but, you know, I live up to my name. It's back, but the most important thing is back with facts and numbers. And at the end of the day, like, you're right, we do need to have some out of the box thinking,
but the research will definitely help.
Yeah,
I mean, there's tons of information out there that if you have a good team,
mm-hmm.
Like, give me something out of this.
Yep,
I'm sure that you can get some. You may not get complete solutions, but you can get some pathways to get to a solution.
Yep. And we need it now more than ever, because right now,
absolutely,
I mean, we're now approaching 500 homicides again. You know, well over 2,000 shootings. We've actually broken a record for carjackings in the city of Philadelphia. You know, a person gets carjacked
a long time
15
ago.
Hours every no, I'm sorry, every 7 hours somebody gets carjacked.
Wow,
that's crazy. Like that, like and it used to be a while ago, like 2-3 years ago, it was like 400 total carjackings for the year. Now you're getting 400 carjackings in a month.
Right.
I remember at a time, I was telling my age, when I was younger, they were snatching earrings and snatching pocketbooks and all that.
Snatching chains.
Yeah, and then it got like so safe. Nobody was doing that crap no more. It was like, we ain't no money in that. We're not doing that no more. And then when I heard about somebody getting their pocketbook off, I was like, oh man, we done went back like 40 years. Because it's attractive again. It's a quick, easy grab. When there was a time where easy grabs or hurting our people wasn't on the agenda.
Yep, that's right.
So we've gone back.
Gone back.
Mm-hmm. To, and I'm talking, shoot, when my girl, that was 89. Mm-hmm. In 89, 87, when we had our bomber jackets and we couldn't wear them because somebody would take your coat in the subway.
Wow. Like,
your mom, and we was on welfare. Your mom done worked and moved money around to get you this $300 or $400 jacket, and they take it off of you in the subway. You standing there with no coat on. But that was in the 80s. So you think from the 90s up until 2020, when it got real crazy.
Yes.
That's almost 30 years.
And we're dealing with worse than it's ever been.
So yes. Then you have people such as myself who lived through that and lost it, who completely disconnected, don't even know how to figure out, like, where does this come from? Because that's where I am. Like, where did this come from? Who even told these kids about these type things? Because it hasn't been around. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, where is it coming from? And how do you stop it? Because it's attractive. It's not so much that it's the act. It's the fire that comes with the act.
Yeah,
it's like, I just did this.
Yeah, I can brag about it.
It's completely crazy.
You got to crack down on who's paying for it. I mean, at the end of the day, somebody's paying these young kids to boost cars.
Yeah.
Like the kids don't have a chop shop in their garage or in their driveway or on the corner of 56th.
Let's just talk about the fact that the cars ain't even making it to the chop shop because they don't even know how to drive.
They don't know how to drive. You got 13-year-olds carjacking people, don't even know how to, they can't even reach the pedals. You're coming down Market Street.
Like, seriously. Like, they don't know how to drive. It's like, go take that. I dare you to go take that car. Mm-mm-mm. Double dares. So, wow. All right, so I guess we stuck still. We're not going to know nothing about this election until, guess what? Let's just throw this out there.
Go ahead.
Freaking April.
Well, I think, here's my prediction.
The numbers will go in. We'll have our in March.
So January 31st is going to be a very critical day because that's the first finance deadline where you have to put up how much money you got, right? Mm-hmm. So I think when those reports come out, there are going to be some people where, you know, you don't have any shot. Like, I mean, it takes like 10 to 15 million to run for mayor. So if you show a campaign finance report and you got $12, it's time to bow out. I mean, like at the end of the day, and we'll see what the field kind of looks like. But the 31st is the date.
We'll start seeing people. So my thing is people are going to cancel each other out and we'll start seeing there. Who decides to drop out and support somebody else or whatever. There's so many people right now, the numbers, like the money can't match the people.
Yep. And a lot of donors are going to wait until they see their first finance report, especially bigger people, because they're like, I don't want to give my money to somebody and then I find out I'm the only donor, you know, and they don't have a shot. So a lot of people with money are waiting, going to wait until that first round. Say, all right, who's the person that really has a shot at this based off what they've been able to raise?
Right.
And then they're going to coalesce around that small group, and that pressures everybody else to bow out.
Wow. So I guess that's it. So we're gonna hang out in January.
Yep.
We'll know. We'll have some idea what's going to go on. So you've been listening to The Inside Scoop. I want to say, because I won't be here until after the new year. So...
Happy New Year.
Enjoy your holidays. You've been listening to The Inside Scoop. We love and appreciate you. That's that end of the year type thing.
Yeah. Like, thanks for listening.
Yes.